is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. We'll continue to roll on, but I just want to remind you guys that John, Raheel, Sean, they're going to be at Trailer Wheel and Frame this Friday, broadcasting live from 9 until 1. It's I-45 and the Canino exit. Trailer Wheel and Frame, conveniently located. They're going to have all the goodies that you need. Besides John, Raheel, and Sean, they're going to have Katz's Coffee, Rudy's Barbecue, St. Arnold's Brewery. The promo team will be out there. It should be fun, had by all. 9 until 1, Trailer Wheel and Frame, John, Raheel, and also Sean, as we do Unfiltered and the entire morning show from out there at Trailer Wheel and Frame. So stop by and see those guys live and in person.
We got this text that says, Barry is salty. What a surprise. I don't understand what that means. Why am I salty?
Yeah, I thought when I saw that text, we sound nothing alike, so I don't know if they were...
Yeah, I don't know, but then it says, Barry's Twitter handle should be Barry is not funny. Holy crap! That's the most clever thing I've ever heard. No one in the history of Twitter since I've had this Twitter handle has said my Twitter handle should be Barry is not funny. Dude, congrats. You're probably going to win like some sort of smart award for that epic, epic joke, dude. Good job.
Like that guy was, Nick, it was actually remotely funny or something. Like,
I don't know.
They're all.
It was really from the
409.
If you think no one has ever made a Barry is not funny joke about my Twitter handle, you're going to have to get in line with about 1,000 people. Like, at least come with something more original than that if you're going to make fun of me. Good Lord.
Probably took him 25 minutes to
he was marking out all the other things. Barry isn't funny. No. I don't want to use a contraction. That doesn't go. Maybe Barry is. Barry wasn't. Barry shouldn't. No, I got it. Barry is not funny. Good job, bro. Good for you.
So, Vic, we're going to get you in a second, but I'm just going to ask you guys, because, Nick, you bring up the Draymond Green question. But the interesting thing to me in watching that series, too, was as much as people label Draymond Green a big three, making it a big four, and all that, is Draymond a guy that, because of the system, is looked at as a superstar because there's so much talent around him? Or is Draymond a guy, like, if you put Draymond Green on another team, would he be a superstar?
Is he a superstar? I don't know if I call him a superstar now, though. That's just me personally.
He'd still be one of the best defenders in the league, right?
I agree with that. Yep.
He'd still be one of the better rebounders, maybe?
I still think he would be just as good on another team. I just don't think the team would do that good.
Because I got a lot of tweets and a lot of people and a lot of things that I saw in the media that basically was saying, and even the NBA, when they advertised this series, their big three was Draymond, Curry, KD. Klay Thompson, and to Barry's point, if KD's not there especially, Klay Thompson becomes an even bigger, more vital role on that team. But Klay Thompson, talent-wise, overall, because he is a top defender too, it's hard to push him out of the picture. But it just, Draymond's one of those guys that on a good team makes everybody better, but on a bad team, can he carry the superstar moniker?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the team too, mm-hmm. and it depends on what kind of offense they're running, you know what I mean? But he's a guy that, to me, he does whatever's necessary. If he needs to score, right, he can score. He can get his, whether it's, you know, from 3 points or, you know, inside, bang, whatever. But he also does all the dirty work. He's the Rodman of the Warriors, with the ability to put the ball in the bucket when it's required, if everyone else is off. But yeah, the stuff that he does on the defensive end, the stuff that his rebounding, that makes all the difference in the world. On a lot of teams, it would. So I think he would be a star. I just don't know. I mean, if he's on the Rockets, is Draymond Green a star? Yeah, but not a superstar, because the Rockets aren't winning championships just adding him.
And one of the conversations I saw going back and forth on Twitter was Draymond Green a Hall of Famer? And I'm going, well, first of all, way too soon to be starting that conversation. But I think,
I mean, at this rate, if he keeps going, yeah.
But Basketball Hall of Fame, just about everybody's a Hall of Famer for the Basketball Hall of Fame.
It seems like it's getting to that point.
Kind of. But, yeah. It depends on where he goes, what his role is. You know, I mean, the fact that he plays for the Golden State Warriors that has, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and now Kevin Durant, that helps a lot. It really does. If you put him in Minnesota, is he a superstar?
Or Charlotte, you know, a team like Charlotte.
I mean, if he goes somewhere like Boston and they still do what they did, then yeah, he's a star because it's Boston and it's the media and it's everything else involved.
A lot of it is exposure. If you're in a small market and you're not on national TV all the time so that you can do all the demonstrative things and get all the attention and be in all the ads and do all those things, is that part of it? I just think he's a guy that system fits. It's tailor-made for him.
Well, I think it's beautiful that it was crafted as he is one part of that. He's one of those pieces. So when they put together, okay, this is how we're going to play, this is what we're going to do, you keep that in mind, that the kind of player that he is. You know what I mean?
Sure, I'm not taking it away. The other thing I'll say is not enough credit's going to Golden State's front office, because at least from the standpoint of everybody says, well, they created a super team. But the good portion of that, which they should get credit for, is they drafted really well. They drafted Draymond Green, I believe the first pick in the second round. They drafted Klay Thompson. They drafted Steph Curry. So they did a lot of things right on their own dime with their own time and their own energy and their own draft picks. It wasn't like Miami got Ray Allen from here and they got LeBron from here, or Boston got Kevin Durant from here and they got Ray Allen from there. This was like they nurtured a lot of it.
Yeah, that's why I say when they designed this, right. he was an integral part of that. Richard on Twitter said, Draymond's an all-star but not a superstar. And Riley said, I heard someone say the other day, Draymond is an all-time great role player. Made him think, because it kind of makes sense. Yeah, he definitely is that.
Is Robert Horry on that all-time role player team? Because that's where you get to. And the other thing that I thought interesting was I saw some guys that said, hey, Steve Kerr, kind of to Barry's point that, you know, this team almost could have coached itself. You had so much talent, you'd have won anyway. But someone said, Mark Jackson put this team together. Steve Kerr just wrote it to the finish line. I'm like, Mark Jackson didn't put any team together.
No.
He kind of got screwed when he got fired, but he didn't put the team together.
He's also the guy that wouldn't play Draymond Green. He believed David Lee was better, and he let Draymond Green rot on the bench. Oh. So there's a lot of reasons why people make changes like they made. They made the right change. Because regardless of who's coaching that team, they did a lot to put it together the right way. Vic, you want to get in here? You've been waiting a long. We appreciate it. What's up?
Okay, guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Vic?
Yeah, I was talking about, you guys were talking about how the Cavs, how it's unbelievable that the Cavs made it 8 times in a row to the finals.
Nope.
Here it is. I believe
not the Cavs, LeBron. Hold on, Vic. Let's make sure the Cavs haven't made it 8 times in a row. LeBron has.
Well, LeBron. Okay, I'm sorry, LeBron. But I feel that you put the Memphis Grizzlies in the East, they make it 8 times. They make it all the time.
Stop it.
You know, you put
the
Cavs in the West, and they're probably a 6-7 seed, and they probably don't make the finals.
Vic's drunk, y'all.
In the West.
Vic is drunk.
I mean, I don't want to hammer him, pile on him, but that was just wrong.
Vic.
That was just inaccurate.
Vic, LeBron James in the West with that cat, with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and a J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson all playing well.
Did he say the Grizzlies would go to the finals if they were in the East?
Times. Yep.
8 straight times in the East. Wow. Vic, stop day drinking,
dude,
bro.
Do you realize when Chandler Parsons went to Memphis, he made them a super team?
I mean, if you want to say that the Spurs go 8 times in a row if you put them in the East, I'll listen. I'll definitely listen to you. The Grizzlies, though? Come on, man. Come on, son. What is that?
But if you flip it the other way, I'll say the Cavs in the West are still a top 4 team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
They have enough talent there.
Vic got drunk.
Yeah, the Grizzlies in the East would make it to the finals 8 times in a row? God.
Yeah, and the texter did say LeBron has made it 8 times, 7 in a row. Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
You get the point.
Yeah. With 2 different franchises.
The Grizzlies, though, making it 8. No. Come on, Vic.
Well, and you know what? The other thing when you look at that, too, is Memphis is a grinded-out team. That's what the whole Eastern Conference would be. So everybody beat the hell out of each other. It wouldn't be just them. There's plenty of big bodies that can't play finesse ball that'll whap the hell out of you. That's a stretch at best. But, okay, so we've got the finals out of the way for the most part, unless you guys want to put an exclamation mark on it at some point. But you guys have done a great job about chiming in on Twitter. Still got plenty more to get to, including your Astros struggling a little bit right now in the midst of a big week with two more against the Rangers and then a big series against the Red Sox this weekend, as well as other things on the agenda. So if you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN on the HRP listener line where you can call and text. Or hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects rolling on, still finishing up and putting final touches on the finals of last night. Daniel wants to get in here. He wants to talk about the Warriors coaching. Daniel, what's up?
Hey, how you fellas doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got a minute?
Yeah, not much. That was Mark Jackson's team. And if you guys would, like, check the Golden State Warriors record before Kerr took over, they were a winning team. But the management felt that the team had stopped listening to Mark, and that he couldn't take them any further with what he was doing in his system. That's when they brought Steve Curry in. And also...
Whoa, time out, because I don't disagree with you, but again, they weren't trying to just win. They wanted to get it to where they are now. They wanted to be a contender. And you're absolutely right, but there's that's the reason why he wasn't the right coach, and it wasn't his team. He didn't construct it. He was coaching it. And in coaching it, he had brought a lot of things that was okay with some players and not okay with others, i.e., he was really focused on religion. Some that rubbed guys the wrong way. Draymond was upset he wasn't playing. There was a lot of undercurrent that ended up being the reason why they pushed Mark out.
And one of the big things that helped Mark Jackson was his second year there is when they got Curry. His first year they were 23-43. You add Steph Curry. They go 47-35 and then 51-31. And even then, he got bounced in the Western Conference semis in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. And then he's gone. Steve Kerr comes in and wins the finals his first year with just about the same team. So, yeah, dude, it's a bit different.
Daniel, you there? Anything else? Daniel?
Yes.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah, and tell them, like, and they would have still won the finals this year without Kevin Durant because, like, it seemed like everybody overlooking that. Draymond got kicked out in game 5, and then the foul situation, and everybody seemed like to be overlooking that. They'd have still beat the Cavaliers. Go to State going to be there for a minute.
Okay, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, the thing to me, and a lot of it even wasn't publicized with Mark Jackson, but some of it was like there was even amongst his coaching staff and his basketball operations people, he had violated trust and gotten into
really?
Yeah, where some of the guys were like recording conversations because he didn't trust guys on his own staff.
I don't know either one of them, Mark Jackson or Steve Kerr, but I'm sorry. I just feel like Kerr could manage players and people better than Mark Jackson.
By the way, I misspoke. Curry was drafted in 09, so he was already there.
But he didn't emerge. Well, and also he was hurt. He had serious ankle injuries for 2 straight years.
The emergence of Curry was about 2012.
Right.
That's when he finally took off as a star. But he was drafted in 2009, so I misspoke.
Yeah, and speaking of people that are going to take shots at Steve Kerr and the Warriors, did I mention Akeem Talib is from Cleveland? He didn't take the loss too well last night, and just to put a bow on this, he congratulated the Cavs and LeBron and then said Steve Kerr wouldn't even be a head coach without Jordan and hashtagged it coattail boys. Mm. And then said, Kevin Durant, you're a suburban kid. Link up with the best to the chip. Hall of Fame is laughing at you right now.
Damn.
Yeah, he's a little bitter.
I can see that coming out of Talib, though.
A little angry.
Well, yeah, we saw him at Radio Row, too. And we got Marcus who wants to get in here real quick on the importance of Steph Curry. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Oh, man, I love your show. I always call in whenever I get a chance to. Real quick, let me spit a little knowledge on the people that's not understanding basketball for a lot of people. So if you watch the game, the big difference that Steve Kerr made, the big difference that he made from game four and game five was the way that they used Steph Curry. They trapped, so Cleveland was trapping in game five, but Steph would give the ball up too early. And Cleveland had a chance to retreat back to their players. But the way they used Steph this time was whenever they would trap, he would hold it until the trap came. Similar to, I don't know if you remember how Chris Paul used to play a little while back when he was with the Hornets. They would hold the ball until the trap would come, and then it would make you go into a four-on-three situation with Durant, Draymond, Iguodala, whoever. So somebody was always open. Cleveland was always in retreat mode. I was in awe that Tyronn Lue didn't change that up going into the fourth quarter. I was like, wow, he's not going to change this up. And it continuously happened. They left, in many cases, they left Durant in order to trap Steph, who made the pass to Durant or Iguodala, who then made the pass to the next level player. Durant was the MVP of the finals, not even close. The way he played was exceptional. But Steph Curry was the most valuable player on that team. If you watch the way they played better. I remember in the second quarter, I believe, Steph hit an open three-pointer, and I was like, oh, that's going to change the game. And I guarantee you after that, they never looked back. Thanks, guys. Y'all keep going. I got to take care of this dumbass dog that's in my face. My bad. I'm sorry.
Good call, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus. I'll say this. The other thing that's not getting – he's right, because Steph Curry would draw the double, and then he'd wait. But the other thing is, don't sleep on how good his handles are. He was able to keep his dribble alive long enough, too, so that the double team had to follow him towards half court.
I got into it with Jerome Solomon on Twitter because there was twice pretty early on where I saw LeBron on a couple of breaks just ole. Like, it was J.R. Smith-style defense in the lane. And I didn't understand that. And Jerome's like, well, he's LeBron. You don't get a foul. Okay, so you're just going to give up 4 points? I was really wishing that the Cavs would have lost by just 4 points. And it would have been those 4 points that he just let. I think it was Iguodala and Durant just go down the lane, and not even defending, not even trying to draw a charge, not even trying to slap the ball away, jumping straight up, none of that. I mean, he literally moved out of the lane or just watched as they went by for a dunk. And I'm thinking, why do you not stop the ball? Why do you not, you know where you're at. Why do you not move up?
Van Gundy highlighted it
for you.
Get to
the elbow and stop the ball. Do something else. But, you know, I mean, you watch that and you think, okay, what's going on here? I mean, you know, LeBron plays defense. He'll D up. I mean, he drew some fouls later in the game trying to D up and Durant. And why do you just let those transition buckets be so easy for the Warriors? It just doesn't make sense to me. I get it. The whole fouling out thing, you don't want your superstar fouling out. It's one foul. You know, they're not going to call any ticky-tack fouls on LeBron, so why not get in there and force Iguodala to miss a dunk and put him on the free throw line or something like that?
It's called a show, but at least flash at the guy, which forces him to pick up his dribble
early,
farther away from the basket. Yeah. So he's got to do something else, whether he shoots like a floater,
nothing.
But he doesn't get right to the 10. And to your point, Van Gundy's tried to highlight it, but Van Gundy tried to say LeBron James is resting while Steph Curry's making these hustle plays. Steph Curry got an offensive rebound on a hustle play, saved it, got a second chance opportunity. They got a bucket off of it. The only thing I'll say in LeBron's defense is he's expending so much energy on both ends that I think sometimes, because as we saw when he sat in big situations in previous games in this series, they completely folded up and started giving away points at a high rate. But yeah, there's no excuse in the finals, as we've said even from game one when we said J.R. Smith, hey, the first thing you're taught when you're trying to defend on the fast break is stop the ball.
Yeah, and he didn't. And I just
so you caught heat for that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Jerome was trying to roast me on it. And I'm like, no, I want my superstar out there doing everything he can. This is an elimination game. If LeBron James is the guy in the middle of the floor on the break, defending the break, go out and stop the ball. Go jump straight up, draw a charge, do something. This is an elimination game. He just got out of the way. I just don't get it.
I would have been okay with him.
The point about fouling out, but still, I want my superstar.
I would have been okay with him at least looking like he's about to defend.
Do something.
Move away.
The show of,
you know what I mean?
Head and shoulders shake like you're going to go.
It still makes the offender think.
What I'm saying? It forces him and probably picks up the dribble.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially somebody like Iguodala. I mean, Durant might pull up and shoot and make it still, and that's fine too. but it's a lower percentage shot than just letting him drive the lane and dunk.
And now you did it because now your boy Chuck wants to chime in on this.
Now.
Oh, this is like three straight days.
Do we have to give
Chuck
him a warning again?
Yeah, don't cuss.
He learned his lesson.
All right, Chuck.
All right, Chuck, you're on.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, my man?
Hey, I got one word for why LeBron didn't do that. He's getting old. Old, man. Hey, that's like when you go out and play tennis at a certain age, you think you're going to chase down the ball, and, man, your feet just don't move. He was exhausted. I think we've seen his peak, his prime. I mean, the man's still above, head, shoulders above everybody else. It's just you're old, man. Your feet don't move. It's like, next time. That's all I got to say, fellas.
Chuck. When's the last time you played tennis?
You know what? I do appreciate what Chuck said, because when we played our 3-on-3 against Team Fat, that's how I was in that third game. I knew what I needed to do. I just couldn't get my body to do it. It was just like, I know I need to jump right now. No, I'm not.
I probably should chase this rebound.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I should probably jump while I try to make this layup so I don't get stuck in the rim, but I can't.
We did.
And that happens.
In game one and two, we did get some pretty serious hustle point.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of points off a rebound.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then game three.
There was the one where I saved going out of bounds and threw it behind my back, and you caught it for a layup. Nick, you were all over the place. We were all doing it, but, you know, I think we also wore them down.
Yeah, well, it was too ugly.
Because that defines the team names. Game three defined the team names more than anything.
Right. Yeah, and LeBron's 32. He's still.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like,
he's past his physical peak. I will say that. I mean, most athletes peak athletes peak between like 26 and 32. That's that window of peak performance for an athlete.
Oh, so he's not past
on
his
average.
Peak. He's going into his peak.
Yeah. Oh no.
No, he's on the downside.
26
of his peak.
To 32. Oh, 26 is most to 32. Guys, most fit, you know, athletes physically. That's when they're at their best.
But most guys' numbers, look, I love Chuck to death, but most guys' numbers, I said it earlier. How many guys their numbers would indicate there's a slight drop off? Maybe just a point and a half. But LeBron's numbers in the playoffs have gone up. That's why you got to tip your cap to the guy. I mean, for all the things you can say, 14 years in the league and 8 straight finals, that takes a toll. Because think about that. He's playing longer than anybody else for 8 straight years. And then when he was playing in the Olympics too, and he still, his numbers have gone up? Dude,
I'm not suggesting that his numbers are going to go down. I'm just saying that, like, from an age perspective,
because
Chuck was saying he's old from an age. He's physically, and this is also on average, too. I mean, not, you know, some guys can play at 34 like they played when they were 28.
Like MJ, wasn't he, like, dominant, like, at 34 and 35? He was dominant.
I don't know, as dominant, but he was
winning
still
championships, wasn't he?
I'd have to go back and look at the exact numbers, but he's also a freak of nature. I mean, that guy had the stamina to go out and drink all night long and smoke cigars and do whatever else he was doing and come back and drop 40 on you.
Shauna from at Third Coast said, this is Chuck, quote, one word for LeBron, he's getting old. That's three words,
yeah,
Chuck.
And I wanted Chuck to highlight the last time he was playing tennis and tried to chase down
a ball.
He just doesn't seem like a tennis player to me.
Got another texter that said, have you ever had someone text the show when they were actually trying to text their significant other? That almost just happened to me and got me wondering if any inappropriate texts have been sent to the show. Yeah, it happens on occasion. Not as much as you would think. Every once in a while, you'll just get something that's like, all right, I'll be there in 10 minutes, and then that'll be followed by another text be like, sorry, wrong number. I haven't seen anything like, you know, no D-picks or anything like that have come through. Thank God.
I'm trying to remember the last time you said that. We got a text from the 409 that said, what are you wearing?
Huh?
I said, I'm trying to remember the last time you said, we got a text from the 409. What are you wearing?
Yeah, no.
I'll be there in 10. All right, we're at the halfway point. We got plenty more to get to. Trent, we see you on the line. We got to talk Astros. We got a bunch of fun stuff that we can get to as well. And if you want to chime in, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Joel, Barry, and Nick here with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. Real quick, though, I know you heard the commercial during the break there. So Sunday is Father's Day, and ESPN 97.5 and Massage Heights want to celebrate all dads with you. So this Thursday, we'll give away three $100 gift cards to Massage Heights for the funniest My Dad Hurt Himself By Doing Something story. So you'll post your story on our Facebook page and we'll read them for all the listeners to hear out there. Listen to John Raheel with Dale, the Usual Suspects in the Blitz, for your chance to win a $100 gift card to Massage Heights for Father's Day.
And so what do you know? We get to give some more stuff
away. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. Are we going to each show going to read one, like read one of the winners? How's that going to work?
They're going to, after you put your story on Facebook about your dad, they're going to, like, I guess the digital, somebody from the digital media department, like Brandon, or
they're going to pick the,
they're
going to
pick the best, yeah, the best stories.
And we're going to read the story.
I don't know.
Are we going to have any production value, or are we going to do it like with Michael Carroll, where we'll have actors and we'll have a script and it'll have sound effects and everything?
Sure.
Or what? Trey.
Like that?
Trey. Where is Trey? I haven't seen Trey in a while.
It's Trey's birthday today.
Happy birthday to Trey.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, Juggalo Trey is 44 today.
Wait, what?
Oh, no.
He told me he was. I can't remember. I think he said 22. He was 22 or 23.
Happy 22nd birthday 10. To Juggalo Trey.
Yeah. 22 going on 10. Good for you, Carrot Cake.
You're a special intern getting a birthday wish.
I'm telling you. I'm not wishing any of these other interns happy birthday. I don't even know
especially
them.
Especially the guys at Jack's
Pizza. Like 60 of them.
They don't even talk to me. I don't understand that.
Well, they might be the ones who...
They don't even say hi. Because I'm mean?
You're grumpy and mean. You come in with the face of don't bother me.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah, it works.
You're
Otis Thorping them.
That's true. Because then when they... If they talk to me, I'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want them to think that.
So intimidation clears out 80% of dialogue you don't want to deal with.
That is true. I would prefer not to have lengthy conversations, especially with one of them who's like real spastic and over the top. The rest of them seem cool. There's just this one.
I know you're not going to name names, but no. I will say this.
It's just one that's like, hey, I've got some. What? Like, please don't talk to me.
See, I don't see how Dale does a show with all the interns in the control room.
Forget the control room. How about the fact that out there in the open area now, there's like 18 interns every day?
Yeah. Well, good for them.
Yeah, they're
learning a lot.
They're all, all their dreams are coming true.
Yeah. This is definitely the highway to their first big time paying job.
Is it?
No. There's like 18 of them.
Yeah, I don't understand why we had such a big crop this time
around.
You
did it because you want one for your own.
I still need to go do that. I need to figure out who's.
You've been talking about that for like the past 3 weeks.
I know, and I keep no. I'll have
specific, during the next break. I'm going to need you to proof this copy.
I'll have specific things for them to do. Some of it may be torturing you, Joel. Mm-hmm. Some of it might just be fetching me coffee.
I was going to say, hold my lettuce during this break. Don't let anybody touch it.
Yeah, yeah. Guard my food from that a-hole Nick and Joel. So they don't touch my lettuce. Although I wouldn't trust an intern.
I feel like they would.
No. No.
Because when, the intern went to give it back to you, they'd rub their nose and go,
yeah,
here you go, Mr. Lamb.
I don't trust anyone around my food except my wife. That's the only person in the world that I would trust to be alone with my food. That's it.
I didn't touch your food, by the way. I've never touched your food.
I think I don't trust you. I don't believe you. And it doesn't matter.
The Ziploc bag that was surrounding your food.
Ziploc bag.
Doesn't matter.
Technically, you didn't touch the food.
He could have, though. He could have opened it and shoved his hand in there, or rubbed it on his face or his testicles or something like that and put it back. Yeah. Could have gave it to Barry Warner. So I'm sorry. I don't trust you in that way.
All right.
I can't.
Now, can I ask a question, too, because it came up during the face touching, yeah. And I need Barry to be informed about it, but what was he trying to get you to show me where he was talking about Barry? Does Barry even know about this?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. So Barry Warner had a dream about you. I actually have
about
the audio.
Me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he did a little video.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, did you show him my video? And I'm like, man, I forgot what that whole thing was about. But he had a dream where I think you guys were like stand-up comedic like partners, either that or he was at the place where you were performing and he was heckling you.
This sounds like a nightmare for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I really wanted you to. I totally forgot about it. I'll try and get the video and play the audio if I can find it.
Okay,
but yeah, he had a dream about you. So how do you feel about that?
Creepy.
Yeah,
it's really creepy that a grown ass man is having a dream about me.
Can I add something
that would make it super creepy?
Better for you to kind of marinate
I'm
on.
Sure it won't.
He probably sleeps naked. So he's naked in the bed having a dream.
Woke
about
up with an erection.
It's possible.
That's what I needed to know. That's possible. That's God. Oh. Sean has sent me a D pic. He sent me a dick pic.
Sean who?
Sean at Third Coast sent a dick pic, and it's a picture of the front of Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you weren't ready to push the button over there, Panic Man.
Because I wasn't being nasty.
But you're referring to it, insinuating you're referring to it as a...
Yeah, because that context, you weren't referring to your...
It's but I said D-pic, and then I said it was a picture of dicks.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
One of these days, you're going to get me fired, but I'm going to take you down with me. I just want you to know that.
Happy 30th birthday to whoever asked for it. And then there was another person that texted earlier in the show asking for a birthday shout out. And there it is. And I don't know.
Is that a bad thing for grown people to ask for a birthday shout out?
Kind of.
What if it's for your son or your daughter? That's okay,
right? No one here even knew it was my birthday.
I did.
No, you didn't. Because if you did, it's because Nick told you, and Nick only knew because we're friends on Facebook. Yeah. You and I aren't friends on Facebook.
No, but you had mentioned
no way
it
you knew.
Like 2 weeks out.
Oh, did I?
And I had asked, and I said that was my parents' anniversary.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, then
you knew. Yeah,
well, you did know.
Yeah.
Okay, you know. That's fine. But I didn't get a big shout out like Todd did. Todd got an email.
And a party.
Laura got drawings on a whiteboard.
Wasn't
there was a party for like three people? It was like Mr. Gao, Jordan.
But was
and
there more
else.
Birthdays? Because the tablecloth said "Happy Birthday" all over it.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, everyone. Yeah, it was like, oh, it's June birthdays. No one did it for May.
I got a June birthday. I didn't get that invite.
You didn't?
Nope.
Well,
no, I did. And after the fact, getting offered some food.
Your birthday is when again?
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, that's right. Why do I not remember that?
Yeah.
That's right. All right. You want to take Trent's call?
Sure. Trent, you want to get in here before we wrap it up? What's up?
Sure, guys. Yeah. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Just for the guy that was saying that LeBron was slow now, LeBron is still by far the best. I don't like LeBron, period. I'm a Spurs fan. But LeBron's still the best basketball player on the planet. He can take any of them jokers to the hole and dunk on them anytime he wants to.
Agreed.
And KD, if LeBron's team was a joke. Even Draymond Green and Iguodala bust threes on Golden State. I mean, everybody on Golden State hits threes. If you take LeBron James and swap places with Kevin Durant, then the Warriors are blowing the Cavs out by 40 points. If you even swap Westbrook with Durant, then the Thunder is going nowhere. And even with Westbrook's energy on there, the Cavs are going to beat everybody by 50 points with Westbrook on there. Him and Draymond getting rebounds, and he can just kick it out to anybody to bust a three. That's all I got. It's kind of sick watching the finals. I really didn't enjoy it. But have a good day, guys.
Hey, appreciate
Thanks,
the call,
Trent.
Thanks, man.
But
I know what he meant, though. He said the Cavs win. He meant the Warriors win with
But also,
Westbrook.
If you put Westbrook on the Warriors, he's so worried about his triple-doubles and he's so selfish with the ball. Does anybody else even see it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right? You talk about their system and how great of a fit it is and how it works and how everybody works with it. He would have to work with their system because talk about an adjustment. He would have to be unselfish, trusting, and not worried about just getting his.
That ain't happening.
No. All right, so we've pretty much beat the finals talk to the point where we can get
I think I'm done.
That.
Yeah. I think I want to move
NBA
on.
Finals next segment.
You want to talk about NBA draft next segment because the draft is coming up before
you
know it.
MLB draft talk on the reality check today.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I wasn't listening.
Bukakis.
Were you working on that show and not listening?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Is that right?
Oh, I check out.
But what happens when he checks in with you? The same thing that happens when we do.
No, I'm actually I talk a lot on that show. So I'm paying attention
to
the entire time.
This is what this is what happens sometimes when I check out while Joel's talking. This is what I just go. Yeah, that's all you got to do. When you check out on Barry, and
By
he's
the way,
talking
I know,
a lot,
I
just
know.
Go, just go. Oh, yeah. Are you? Okay.
He's not kidding. He does it all the time.
I do.
No, I know the face that you make when you're not paying attention to Barry, and I know the face that Barry makes when you're not paying attention to Joel.
Yeah.
I know the face, like.
Yeah.
I could tell, but I never. Sometimes I call you guys out, but sometimes I don't because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
But you guys call me out when I'm not paying attention.
But with Barry, you don't hide it.
Okay.
Huh? No, I was just joking. I'm literally on the air like all the time with him on that show. Like, there's no way I'm not.
You talk
attention.
A lot.
A lot.
Oh God, that show must suck.
Yeah, not by choice.
He makes you talk.
Yeah.
So you kind of play
stand
more
your ground.
So that show kind of goes at the pace of the Grizzlies, not the Warriors.
I love B-Dub. I don't want people to think I hate him.
Oh, you've already established
I
that.
I do.
You hate Barry Warner?
I want people to think I hate him.
Why?
I don't know.
I just texted you the video that he had
See
for
that.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it a listen, and if you want to...
Am I going to regret this?
I don't
is this going to be creepy?
Yeah, a little. It's Barry Warner.
Poor Barry.
I can only... I just... The curiosity has got me more than anything else of how he had a dream about the two of them together. Doing whatever they were doing. I will have
this.
To watch during the break. Okay, so stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Well, partner, we've got finals out of the way, and since your dream teammate...
Did you have the audio of this?
Yeah, only if you wanted to play it.
I kind of heard it. Let's go ahead and hear the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
All right, we will play it.
I have true confessions to make to you, Nick.
Okay.
I had a dream the other evening about Barry Laminack. No, it was not a nightmare. I didn't wake up shrinking. But I actually had a dream that we did a two-man, unrehearsed, where I just followed the lead because he's the professional comedian. We went on a gig with one of his speaking engagements, or one of his deals. He had throat problems, and he had to have the booking, and he couldn't substitute anybody. So we said, can you come along? Because I know we'll have fun. So maybe, just maybe someday, at a comedy club near you, it will be Barry and Barry, or Barry and B-Dub, or whatever he wants to call it, because he's the comedian and I'm just the Hall of Famer. Chirp.
He ended it with chirp.
And yeah, everything with chirp.
It wasn't necessary.
That's his deal.
He wasn't signing off the air.
Phone, text. Videos.
So when he texts you, he ends a text with
chirp. Already like his signature line.
It's got a nice ring to it. Barry and B-Dub. I like it.
I would.
Barry
don't they
Squared.
Have, yeah. Isn't there an app on your phone where you can take a word and have it automatically change to something else?
I'm sure. There's apps for everything.
I think we should do that. We should get his phone. You should do that during the show one day. Like when he goes, because I'm sure he has, it takes him like two breaks to pee. Because let's face it, it takes old people a long time to pee. So, like, one day when he goes to pee and he doesn't come back for 20 minutes, just take his phone and set up an autocorrect so that when he types chirp, it just changes to something like, I'm old, kill me, please. Or, like, something like that. That way, when he sends it to people, instead of chirp, they get that.
How about instead of
chirp? He'd be like, what the hell, Nick? I got a virus.
No.
Adult Friend Finder has found my phone, and now my jitterbug is sending out these cryptic messages.
Just change it from chirp to bitch.
Talk to you later, bitch.
Betty. Betty, when I get home, I need you to make sure I take my meds and you get a towel
good.
So I can swim naked. Bitch.
That would be great. That would be pretty good.
But you're forgetting one little detail,
uh-oh.
Mr. Laminack.
What?
That would mean that Nick would have to touch Barry's phone. And if he does this after Barry's gone to the restroom.
He could get some gloves.
Yeah, rubber glove it, Nick.
Yeah, latex gloves, something like that. Yeah.
Alcohol, acid to burn your fingers off when you're done.
Because there's no doubt you could pull that off.
Somebody wanted me to call the interns in here. This is on a text line. They said, give the interns, get them in on one day. Give each of them 45 seconds to give their best take and then destroy them like a rookie caller from Jim Rome. Like, that would be mean.
But that's something that's right like right
alley.
Up your alley, though.
Yeah, that is you.
That is totally
we
you.
We both just, not,
actually, I
not rehearsed,
like
we both just said that.
I guarantee you, we bring one intern at a time, you'd have a blast.
Except one.
Who?
He ain't doing it to Sarah.
Oh, yeah, well.
Really? You don't think I would?
I don't. I really don't.
Okay. I think you underestimate me yet again.
Should we do this today? Let's do this. We got 1 hour left.
Yet again.
Yeah. Like when you said I wouldn't ask Corey Brewer about his dismal three-point shooting, and it was my first question. Have the coaches told you to stop shooting because you're shooting so bad from the three-point line? Was the exact question I asked him to his face. So I think you underestimated
me. You did
ask again.
Him that.
I know I did.
Also got really... Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to treat her any different. She's an intern. If I'm gonna diss and make fun of all the interns, I'm gonna include her. It would be wrong to exclude her.
I really like this idea. Let's do a 45-second shot clock.
I will
bring them one at a time. I like this.
I will say this though: when I walked out there after joking about they don't talk to me, I walked by and the one I don't know his name is the first intern on the end here.
I'm not good with the new intern.
And I walked by and he goes, "Hey, what's up?" I was like, "It's too late. Don't try to talk to me now." I kept walking. He was just like, "See, I'm not even gonna try." I guess that dude's a a-hole.
Nick, you underestimate the time it would take since we have an hour, but we have 18 interns out there.
That's true.
Let's do three. Let's do two a segment.
Take a number, and they'd have to come in. It's like an audition.
Yeah, that would take a while.
Let's do two interns in segment two of hour three, and then two interns in segment four. Or
that's
like
fine.
Segment two and segment three.
That's fine. Bring them in here. Let them give their 45-second take on the finals.
And
you guys are on the clock.
Finals, Astros, all are fair game.
No. One or the other. We could ask you about the Astros. We could ask you about the finals. You don't know which.
It's all fair game.
Yeah.
But we get to ask you.
And Mexico versus USA.
The dynamic is they're going to come here and give a take, or are you guys going to ask them questions?
Both.
So should they give their take first and then you follow
up? Yes. Well, okay. So it's like a pageant, but we can ask a question. They just have to be prepared to answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
This is going to be fun.
So how long should their take be before they
ask? 30 seconds max.
Okay.
30-second take.
And they're penalized, Nick. You watch the clock.
We have to find interns that'd be willing to do it. There might be some shy ones.
Are you kidding me? They all want a chance to get on the air here. This is what they're here for. They want to be big-time radio stars.
All right. We'll go to break.
Right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Big-time radio stars like you?
Yeah. I'm massive.
And Barry Warner?
The beat-up.
Dude, the audience that you guys have in the mornings is creating a legacy for yourself that you don't even know.
You guys got tens of listeners
You're Draymond now, but you are destined to be KD and then LeBron.
You guys got tens of listeners over there, right?
Making magic.
Don't pad your stats now. And maybe we should have them read copy, too, to see how well these interns can actually read copy under the gun.
We don't want to ruin our sponsors.
I'm letting that marinate for a second, but at least I got that drop in out of the way. All right, so we got two in the books, one to go, plenty more show, and plenty more to get to, including what sounds like the Laugh Olympics with the interns. But we'll see how that goes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.